Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody this morning. It's kind of feeling a little bit more like spring out there than summertime. I want to ask you a question. How much do you worry? Do you worry at all? Do you worry a little bit? Do you worry a moderate amount? Or do you worry a lot? Do you do what I do? I don't worry. I'm just concerned about things. You know, figuring that if you change the word, then you're not really sinning. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 6, "Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." You know, the word worry comes from two different words in the Greek that means to be or to have a divided mind. And in James chapter 1 verse 8, we're told that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You know, there are two things that a Christian ought not worry about. They ought not worry about things that they can't help. After all, if you can't help it, then don't worry about it. Just forget about it. Second, a Christian should never worry about things that they can help. You know, if you can do something about it, then just go ahead and do it and get it out of the way. I'm going to give you a far-out illustration. We had a storm that blew through last night. Now, I don't know whether it thundered and lightened or not. But about 1:30, I woke up. And it's been kind of warm lately, so we had the windows open. And I woke up 1:30, 1:35, something like that. Wind was blowing real good up on the front porch. And I thought about those windows being open, and I thought, well, you know, if I don't get up to close those windows, you know, I'm going to have a problem. All right? I got up and closed the windows, but say I didn't, and I lay there all night long thinking to myself, if I don't get up and close the windows, then it's going to ruin the carpet, it's going to mess up the floor, it's going to mess up the furniture, but you just don't do anything about it. Well, like I said, that's a far-out example because it's really kind of crazy. But you know, that's the way it is with a lot of people. If they worry about something that they can do something about, but they don't do it, then it's just kind of crazy, like not getting up at 1:35 or 40 in the morning and closing the windows to keep the floor from being ruined. Now, there's no use worrying about things that you can't help. Okay? Studies have been made, and they were made by people that are smarter than me and such like, maybe a psychologist or psychiatrist or whatever, that somewhere between 85 and 95% of the things that we worry about never happen. Think about that for just a second. Some of the things that you worry about, there's only a 5 or a 10 or a 15% chance that those things are actually going to happen. So you think about those 85 to 95% of the times when it's not going to happen in the first place, and you wasted all of that time worrying. God doesn't want us to live lives of worry. Jesus said, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad." He didn't say anything in here about worrying. He said, we need to be joyful. We need to be glad. We need to be happy. And yet I'm looking out there and I don't see a whole lot of grins on your faces. Well, now I do. But that whole passage reads, Jesus said, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." That passage says why we ought to be joyful or happy or glad, because if we stay on the right path, great is our reward going to be in heaven. Jesus said in John 15:11, "These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Two times in this passage, he talks about joy. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." That's the sort of life that Jesus wants us to have, that God created us for. So why do we go around with long faces and worry about stuff either that we can do something about or that we can't do anything about? Let's spend a few minutes and first let's look at what won't work. Okay? One thing that won't work about worrying is trying to find an ideal situation. Let me just throw this out there. A lot of people that say, well, you know, if I could find the perfect or the ideal situation, then I wouldn't have to worry. You got that? Number one, there are no ideal or perfect situations. And number two, because you're an imperfect person, if you found that ideal or perfect situation, you'd probably mess it up. So let's not look for the ideal or perfect situation. There's just no use worrying about it. Second, some people try and overcome worry with the power of positive thinking. Now, this is a biblical idea. You know, we know that if we have enough faith, that we can overcome worrying. But that's not what I'm talking about here. There are people out there that think to themselves, well, I'm not going to worry. I'm just not going to worry. There was a young woman who had had something, and I don't know what it was, that had happened to her in her life. Preacher came over to help her with it because it was a horrible problem. And she said, when he first got there and after the introductions and the whatevers, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just not going to worry. And she kept saying it. And 5 minutes later, she was just absolutely, totally torn up and crying about it. After about 20 minutes, she got herself straightened up. She said to the preacher, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just not going to worry about it. And she'd gotten herself worked up again and started crying. Now this young woman eventually ended up going to a psychiatrist or a counselor or a psychologist. You can't defeat worry with that kind of thinking. Other people try to handle the problem of worry by immersing themselves in something that's just not right. Some people like to get drunk. Well, at least when I'm drunk, I don't think about my problems and I don't worry about them, or doing drugs or doing this or doing that. And they're right. Okay, for an hour or two or three, you don't think about your problems. You don't worry about them. You have that silly feeling that comes with that controlled or substance or whatever. But then when you come down off of it, well, number one, you got a hangover. And number two, your wallet's a little bit lighter. And number three, you've still got that worry hanging over your head. And plus, you've messed up your integrity or your character by getting involved in something like that to begin with. Other people resign themselves to being self-righteous about it. I have this burden to bear and I'm just going to carry it all myself. Problem with that is that this kind of people, they tell everybody around them, I've got this horrible burden and I'm just going to bear it all by myself. Well, you don't have to. Jesus said, my burden is easy, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You picture Jesus kind of like a football player. You know, they wear these big old shoulder pads. Jesus had broad shoulders, and He can take care of any problem that you have. Peter even said, casting your care on Him, because He cares for you. So don't try and bear it all by yourself and make yourself and other people around you. Turn it over to Jesus. Now, these are some of the things that just won't work, and I say that because chances are you've tried some of these things, and I know I might have tried some of these things. So let's not try them anymore. Learn from the mistakes of others. Number two, what will work? You weren't born worried. Now you might have worried someone when you were born. And you might have worried someone since you were born. But you were not born worried. It's something that you have to do before you get good at it. You know, after all, think about it. The job that you do or that you have had in your life, you didn't start that job being as good at it as what you are right now. You know, you had to go to work. Somebody had to teach you. You had to practice it over and over and over again. And you went day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, until you finally got pretty good at that job. It's the same thing with worrying. You worry, and then you worry some more, and then you worry some more after that. And eventually, you're a real good worrier. Now let me throw this out there. Anything that is learned can be unlearned. So if you're a worrier and you're good at it, you can unlearn it. The problem is it's harder to remember than it is to forget. And so it's harder to forget how to be a worrier than it was to start in the first place. So how do you skip over, how do you forget being a worrier? One fella has come up with three suggestions that are based on Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. First, value yourself. Remember this because it's very practical. You're important. A lot of problems with people nowadays that worry too much, they don't think that they're very important. Well, I'm not all that important. Nobody cares about me, not even God. Not even Jesus cares about me. But remember this. Jesus went to the cross and died for your sins. Now that gives you value. God allowed His one and only Son to go to the cross prior to this, to be persecuted for 3 years and all of that, and die on the cross for your sins. That gives you value. The Bible says that God looks after the birds of the air and the flowers in the ground. And if He looks after and He loves them, then He loves you even more. That gives you value. We've also need to value ourselves because we've been made in God's image. And that makes us valuable. God thought that we were worth something. I'm going to stop just for a second and ask you, get your Bibles out and turn to Romans 8. Now I'm going to slow down just for a second. Romans chapter 8 and turn to verse 32. Now you can, as far as I'm concerned, you can even do this in a pew Bible. We're having a men's meeting. And they can say, oh, you don't need to tell people to write that down in a pew Bible. But underline Romans 8:32. Okay? In whatever Bible you have, it says, He who didn't spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? What does this passage say? It says, and I'm going to bring it down to my level, I've got a son. I've got a daughter. I'm not going to tell you which one because I don't want to get in trouble. But if I let one of my children die for you, what makes you think I won't give you anything you need? This passage says God let Jesus die on the cross. How can we imagine that God won't give us anything else that we need? And believe it or not, God can do anything above we ask or think. I can't, but He can. We need to remember to value ourselves. Second, accept yourself. Accept yourself just as you are. You know, I'm Bill Walkup. I could go to court tomorrow. I don't know exactly how to do it. I never looked into it. I go to court tomorrow, make an appointment for next week or whatever, and I could change my name to Tom Jackson. Now, I hate to tell you this. I still would be nothing more than just Bill Walkup. You know, you're exactly who you are right now, and there's no way at all you can ever change that. Jesus said, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to His stature? Now think about it. You know, I can't make myself any taller. I can't add a hair to my head by worrying about it. I know people that worry about their age. I might get myself in trouble, but as long as she doesn't find out about it, I'm okay. My mother-in-law, Mary Brown, Tracy always told me, she said, Mom's always said that she was 29 years old. That's what she always said. Well, we went up there that summer and Tracy just happened to have turned 29. And I said, Mary, I said, you know, you say that you've always been 29 years old and your daughter just turned 29. What about that? She said, I don't think we need to talk about this anymore. I never brought it up again, so I haven't had to worry about it. But there's some people that even worry about their age, about getting old. You know, when you get older, you look extinguished. Eventually, you are extinguished. But don't worry about it. You know, old people, I've heard them say it. I'm old enough that I don't care what anybody says about me. Well, I still am. But, you know, don't worry about it. Think about this, and I remember getting this on the internet several years ago. Lord, help me to accept the things I can't change. Help me to change the things that should be changed, and give me the wisdom to know the difference. Now think about that for just a second, and this is what it's all about. Why in the world should we worry about the stuff that we can't change? And if we can change it, then let's go ahead and change it, and let's not worry about any of this stuff. Number three, consecrate yourself. Okay, set yourself apart. Set yourself apart to God. This takes all the worry out of life. Set yourself apart to God and to Jesus who died for you on the cross. Let me share with you a couple of passages of scriptures. The first of them out of the Old Testament in Isaiah 48:22. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. You want to have peace? Don't be wicked. Don't be a sinner. There's a couple of buildings in New York City. One of them is a I don't know what you'd call it, kind of a jail. And you know, in New York, of course, it'd be pretty tall. And next door to it, actually not next door, but across the street, there's a judicial building. And this is where they keep the people that have just been arrested, and then they take them across the street to the place where they're supposed to have their hearings. Okay? Now, they don't take them across the street. There is a tunnel that's been dug underneath it, so you don't let them get out and get a chance of running away. And over that underground passageway is this statement, "The way of the transgressor is hard." Now, I don't know if anybody ever looks up and sees those words, and if they do, I don't know if they know, but this is from Proverbs 13:15. If you don't want to worry, then don't be a sinner. If you don't want to worry, then do the right thing, and you'll never have to be concerned about where you're going to end up in eternity. Proverbs 16:20. He who heeds the word wisely will find good. Whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. If we want to make sure that we don't worry, then we need to do what God expects of us. We need to trust in Him and have faith in Him. The psalmist, "I have not seen the righteous forsaken." God's going to look after us if we do what He expects of us. Jesus said in Matthew 9:29, "According to your faith, let it be to you." What causes worry? A lack of faith and a lack of trust causes it. When we put God and His way first, then worry will take care of itself. Jesus said, and I've already read this, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Now, God's not going to take care of all the stuff that you want. I'm going to have to wait for that 85-inch television set. But God's going to make sure that I get enough food. He's going to make sure I got a roof over my head. He's going to make sure that I have clothing to wear and that I've got enough to drink. He'll take care of my needs as long as I get the priorities right. I've got to do what God expects of me and follow in Jesus' footsteps. Think about that passage. How many millions of people before us today have lived according to that statement, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be given to you." If you could get together everyone who's lived according to that passage and line them up outside that door, I imagine that line would go around the world. So try it. You might trust in men, but if you trust in men, then change it and trust in God. He'll look after you. Place your faith in Him by being obedient to what Jesus teaches in His gospel and the examples that we have in the book of Acts and the things that are written to us by Paul and John and Peter. And you will have no reason to worry, and you know that you'll have an eternal home waiting for you when this life is over. If you need to respond to the invitation this morning, if you need to come and put on Jesus in the waters of baptism, if you need to repent of some sin and come so that we can pray for you and with you, if you need to come in whatever reason, then won't you as we stand and sing.